Coming up on Chasing the Natty, week 10 of the 2025 college football season is through. Playoffs are right around the corner, and you guys need players to help you finish the season strong. Let's get started, shall we? All of that and more coming right after this.
Sellers picks his way to the right and is tripped up, reaching to the end zone. Touchdown! What a start!
Reed, and there he goes! Nobody's gonna catch him! Touchdown!
It's caught! Jeremiah Smith! Touchdown, Ohio State! The legend grows!
This is Chasing the Natty, a college fantasy football podcast.
All right, welcome in, everyone. This is Jared Palmgren, host of the Chasing the Natty podcast. Hope you guys are having a wonderful ride to your work on this Monday morning. We are the College Fantasy Football Podcast on the Campus of Canton Podcast Network. You can find us on all of your podcast feeds and on YouTube every Monday morning and Tuesday night during the season. If you want to support the great work we do here, head on over to campusdecanton.com. Subscribe there with any of our phenomenal tiers. We got content ranging on all sorts of college football games, whether that is CFF, Devi, Campus Canton Leagues, College IDP, College DFS. Really, if you play it, then we've got content, whether it's tools, rankings, pretty much everything you need to succeed. In fact, right now, if you want to support the show even further, make sure when you sign up for one of our yearly membership tiers, use the promo code NATTY, N-A-T-T-Y, to get 10% off your yearly membership. Again, that is promo code NATTY, N-A-T-T-Y. If you can't do that, totally fine. Just show us some love by leaving a like, a comment, and a subscribe on the YouTube side of things. If you're on the podcast side of things, just leave a 5-star review and make sure you are following the show wherever you're listening. Not only does that show us support, but also shows the entire game of college fantasy football in general a ton of support. If you got any further questions or just want to get in touch for whatever reason, you can find me the show on Twitter. I'm at @CFF_Jared. The show is at Chasing the Natty. I don't know about you guys, I am, in all my leagues, there are very few playoffs that feel settled, right? I for most leagues, this upcoming week will be the last week of the regular season. I do have one league where we do 4 rounds of playoffs, so we get started on that this week. Obviously, that's settled, but for everybody else, we got at least 1 to 2 more weeks of the regular season before playoffs hit here, and I feel like this year more than in years past, I don't know if it's just my leagues, maybe you guys can tell me as well, but it really feels like that there's even like number one seeds for the most part don't even feel safe. Not that I think it's a high likelihood that a lot of them will like not make the playoffs, especially if it's a 16-team playoff or anything like that, a 6-team playoff, not 16-team playoff. Good Lord. That'd be crazy. Yeah, so like basically I know what you all are feeling. I'm there with you in a lot of my leagues where, you know, I might be, you know, in the top 4, top 6 or wherever I'm at. I might be right on the outside. Basically, I know that this upcoming week decides a lot. So you guys are going to need a lot of information this week, and don't worry, I've got it here for you. And what I would say it's probably definitely my favorite group of waiver picks over the last couple of weeks. Again, a lot of waiver picks have kind of felt like I was kind of in reach a little bit in order to justify their inclusion. But this week, I feel like we got a pretty good crop of players. So we'll definitely get right on into that. But one thing I did want to touch on before we get too far here is the fact that my rest of season rankings, I know they came out a little later than I kind of initially said, but they are officially up over at campusdecanton.com. You can find them there under the CFF tab. How do these rankings differentiate from our projections? Basically, our projections, one, are done by Chris Moxley and his algorithm. He does a fantastic job with those every single week. My rest of season projections / rankings are there to give you a holistic idea of what to expect down the line, what I'm kind of thinking, you know, what different players, like how many points are left, basically left on the table for them. But you'll also have other stats there as well. Like I said, it'll have total points rest of season, but it'll also have fantasy points per game rest of season. I also included the current fantasy points per game stats so that you can kind of compare to what a player has done so far versus what they are projected to do down the line. I think that'll kind of give you some pretty good information. As of right now, it only includes the top 60, top 72, top 84, includes the top 60 quarterbacks, top 72 running backs, top 84 wide receivers, and top 36 tight ends for now. There's room to expand in the future, and if things are going well with the projections, I can definitely kind of expand out the number of players. I know you guys are going to want to go in there and look up individual players that you might have. So if you see a player that's not on there, don't fret. Like, again, I probably have a projection for them, but that kind of leads me to my next point here, where obviously the start sit live streams will still be centered around start sit questions for the most part. But if you've been tuning into those last couple of weeks, I have been very open about the fact that I've had my rest of season projections there with me, and that I am totally down to answer rest of season questions there as well. So if you go and check that out and you see that one of your players that you have that you're relying on over the next couple of weeks isn't there, you can come ask me what is my projection for them, why that projection might be low. You might see a guy like, Robert Henry, who is, not been very hot the last couple of weeks, but my projections do see him performing well. That's a little bit of, it's still being heavily weighted by those early season games, but also the same fact, Henry's got some good matchups coming up here. So a lot of different things there. Go check that out over on campusagain.com. Again, it's under the CFF tab. It will be updated. Should be updated by Monday night. Again, there's a couple of things I wait on to get it fully updated, but I usually, as part of my prep for Sunday, I will, get the stuff that I'm able to, or that it goes into it on my end with my algorithm for these projections done. And then there's a couple of stats that I wait on each week that are updated from the previous week's games that usually don't get updated till Monday. So I would just say, good rule of thumb, check that out every Monday night. Usually by 8 p.m., it should be more than good to check out. So, with all that being said, that's my only, extra spiel today. As I mentioned in the start of the show, you guys know the drill by now. We're checking out waivers today. You guys know, I know what you guys need at this point. You guys need players, so we can jump right on to it. Again, general overview of what we are looking at this week. Let me see if I can find the right button. There we go. As I mentioned, waivers been real hard last couple of weeks. They're always hard at this point in the season. And to be fair, they should be, right? Because if they weren't, we as CFF content creators wouldn't be really doing our job very well now, would we? But there are a couple of names out there that are worth grabbing to, restock some guys who might have gone cold last couple of weeks. Injuries have played a huge part here down at this point. And that's really been the thing to look out for this late in the season, is when a guy goes down, who's that next guy up? Got tons of that this week. At quarterback, like I said, some QB changes that are opening opportunity for some good late season runs here. We got three guys here that kind of fit that mold there. Running back, after weeks of what I would consider relative barrenness at the position, injuries have caught to top backs have allowed, some backups to really take center stage here. And so we got three different guys that fit that mold here. And then lastly, as great as wide receivers have been in recent weeks, that streak is kind of going cold here. There's a couple of good top end options here, but it's really, again, going to be the guys we talked about over the last couple of weeks that might still be available. In terms of new names, not really a ton of names out there. And if you're in a league where all these guys get taken the week that, I talk about it, or we as a CFF community talk about them, you're not going to find a ton of options at wide receiver this week. But with all that being said, let's get into these guys. Again, as mentioned, almost all the players mentioned today are rostered in 30% or less CFF leagues on Fantrax. We do have one major exception here today, but we'll get to him when we get there. Let's start with quarterbacks here. This one's definitely not above the 30%. It is Mr. Jeff Sims, rostered on 2% of leagues. This past week, 13 for 24, 177 yards passing and a touchdown. And then a monster, 29 carries for 228 yards on the ground and two touchdowns to go along with it. Never, ever thought I'd see the day where I'd actually end up recommending Jeff Sims as a quarterback to be used in CFF, but here we are. With Sam Levitt shut down for the rest of the season due to injury, Sims has become the number one quarterback, and you know, mostly to the groan of the CFF world. I'll admit, when I heard that Sam Levitt was down for the rest of the year, I immediately started crying for all my Jordan Tyson shares and sat there and hoped that, you know, Cameron Dyer, who is a pretty solid freshman quarterback there at Arizona State, maybe he might get healthy and, you know, him come in and, you know, give a legit passing opportunity going forward. That's all fine and dandy. But we have Sims. And yeah, like I said, the CFF world, not super excited by this news. Let's face it, Sims has had a long history of, you know, teasing greatness with his skill set, but never quite really putting it all together. And, you know, just being honest, this may very well be another one of those times, but I don't think we can ignore what Sims was able to do against Iowa State this past weekend. Like I said, against this defense, he put up passing stats you really come to expect from him over the years, you know. Completion percentage right around 50%, sub 200 yards passing, a single touchdown. That's all fine and dandy. That's kind of what we expect from him. Nothing too crazy. Yeah, these rushing stats, I mentioned it earlier, almost over 200 yards on the ground and two touchdowns. Just absolutely monstrous on the ground here from Sims. Iowa State just had zero answers for him. Let's be clear. Sims is probably not putting up a game like this at any point the remainder of this year. No duh. Crazy, crazy idea. Quarterbacks aren't going to run for 200 yards every single week. But like I said, like my sarcasm indicates there, like he doesn't have to do that to become CFR relevant. If he does half that, if he gets close to 100 yards rushing each game, that's a very startable option, especially if he does, you know, end up with around, you know, 150 to 200 yards passing. Like, add in, you know, 80 to 100 yards rushing. That could be huge down the line. And I can already hear some of you guys talking about this being a one-hit wonder. Totally think that's valid. One, we're late in the season. Got to be a little bit more or a little less picky about our quarterback options and stuff like that. But also at the same time, like, I get it, right? Like, we've been teased by Sims before, but one, I do think he's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder. I think he's got to put the team on his back now that he knows that Sam Levitt isn't coming back. Two, last time we saw Sims was against Utah. Arizona State got absolutely destroyed in that game. Sims was never going to do well in that game. I was very impressed with this against Iowa State, and it makes me very, very hopeful for this remaining schedule, which sets up really nicely for Sims. Like, after the bye week this week, Sims and the Sun Devils get West Virginia, Colorado, and Arizona to close out the season. Both the Mountaineers and especially the Buffaloes have shown vulnerability versus the run, so given what we know about Sims, that is extremely promising for him. Not to repeat this, but to be able to have some really solid rushing days, and that'll make him relevant. And so, you know, while Sims might still be kind of a terrifying thought for, you know, New Jordan Tyson managers going forward, I do think that Sims himself is worth a pickup at the quarterback position just simply for the upside and plucking him into some of those better matchups there, like against Colorado in the semifinals. That could be absolutely fantastic. Let's go ahead and move on to our second quarterback of the day, and that is Samari Collier out of Coastal Carolina. This past week, he went 8 for 20 for 196 yards and two touchdowns through the air. He also had 22 rush attempts for 75 yards and two touchdowns. He is rostered in 1% of leagues. Again, I'll be honest with y'all, I did not think at any point I was going to be recommending a Coastal Carolina quarterback for CFF this year, because it has just been an absolute mess at the Coastal Carolina quarterback situation this season. Like, both Tad Hudson and MJ Morris have just been horrific. Emmett Brown, the transfer from San Jose State, never even really got a chance due to his injury. And, you know, while some other staffs have, you know, tried their younger third option at quarterback and, you know, had disaster as a result, Frank Brown, for Coastal, it might have been the thing that has saved their season. They were 2-3 before they made the switch at quarterback. And since then, Coastal Carolina has looked like a completely different team. Like, Collier, this dude wasn't even being discussed at all prior to the season, but, you know, he's a JUCO transfer, he's got some experience under his belt, and he looks like exactly what the Chanticleer's offense has needed this entire year. Like, prior to him starting, Coastal Carolina was averaging 13 points on offense. That is 1-3 points on offense. Since he got the job, they've been averaging 37.3 points per game. Now, granted, some of that has to do with the defenses they're playing. Like they had a couple of tough matchups there towards the beginning of the season. Obviously, a power four opponent here and there, but like again, it's just looked much more put together here. And like they clearly have a new offensive identity with Collier, and it looks like something they can consistently replicate. Like so much of the success here comes from Collier's legs. He's your classic dual threat quarterback that can't really pass very well, but he is great for CFF. Like in his three starts, Collier has had 74 plus rushing yards in each of them. He's found the end zone on the ground in all three of them. He's averaged 17.83 fantasy points per game just on his rushing stats alone. That's a fantastic floor going forward here. Like you might be worried about his passing. I mentioned earlier, like he went 8-for-20 this past week. So that's a 40% completion percentage. That is not no bueno, right? But I do think that he has improved in some areas as the weeks have gone on, and it gives me a little bit of hope here moving forward. Like his passing yardage went from 37 in his first game to 118 in his second game to 196 in his third game. His yards per attempt went from 2.5 to 2.6, or excuse me, from 2.5 to 6.2 to 9.8 yards per attempt over the span of the three games. You know, his accuracy certainly needs some help, right? He's sub 50% since starting in completion percentage. Again, obviously not great. Want to see that improved. But the fact that he's improving so much in the other stat categories, especially the efficiency numbers, to me shows a quarterback that's very quickly gaining confidence with each week. And it makes me very, very hopeful here over the next couple of weeks. And it really should work out these next couple of weeks, because the next 2 weeks are absolute gold. He gets the two Sun Belt schools from Georgia and Georgia State and Georgia Southern. Both of these schools are bottom five against the run in all of FBS, each of them giving up 200-plus rushing yards each match. Given a guy like Collier who relies on his legs each and every game, that sounds like an absolute buffet for him to feast on. Their secondaries also aren't really anything to be feared, so hopefully, again, Collier will continue to improve in that passing game with these weaker matchups. So that's all great and all, but you know, there is one major downside here, and that is Coastal Carolina does face South Carolina in week 13. There's no way you can start Collier in that game. And so that's a pretty tough, you know, loss of being able to start this guy in your playoffs. A tough pill to swallow there, but I think that if you're smart and if you target Collier to play for the next 2 weeks and you have a plan already in place for week 13, he'll be absolutely phenomenal. So let's finish up with our last quarterback here. This one's definitely not nearly as widely available as the other two, but I got to give credit to Walker Egitt, quarterback out of San Jose State, rostered on 25% of leagues. I left him for dead last year after that stupid game where he went 4-for-22 in the rain, completely killed a lot of my teams that week. I'm not bitter at all. But Egitt has put on some mighty fine performances the last couple weeks. Very, very steady performances here against Wyoming, Utah State, and Hawaii. In particular, last week, just absolutely phenomenal here. 20-for-40 for 458 yards and two touchdowns through the air. Dude just went off in the passing game in what was a phenomenal game between them and Hawaii. If y'all haven't gone back and watched highlights from it, it just absolute back and forth shootout. Every CFF player's dream in that game. But you also have him, you know, putting up 340 against Utah State the week before, about 300 yards and four touchdowns against Wyoming the week before that. Dude's just finding ways to score points every single week. And what is especially exciting is the passing volume recently. Like 37 pass attempts versus Wyoming, 49 versus Utah State, 40 versus Hawaii. This is a fast-paced offense that is putting up points each and every week. I think that Egitt is quickly turning into a team or a guy that you can rely on a little bit. especially this week against Air Force. Air Force bottom four in the country against the pass. I think Ike could put up some monster numbers this upcoming week. After that, things get a little tough. Nevada, they're 46 versus the pass. San Diego State, especially a tough out there in week 13, 15th in the country versus the pass, only giving up about 174 yards per game through the air. So yeah, I think this might end up probably being more of a start, a spot start here against Arizona or against Air Force this week. But regardless, like, I've just been impressed with Egan, and you know, the passing volume is great, especially if you're a 6-point passing touchdown league. I don't think you can really ignore picking up Egan going forward. So let's run through a couple of honorable mentions. One I will throw out here that's not on the screen is Mr. Scotty Fox, quarterback out of West Virginia. I wanted to put him as an official play this week, but I'm still not entirely sure that West Virginia has everything together. Obviously, they got a huge win against Houston this past week, but it's one of those things where I need to start seeing a bit of a pattern. Fox looks pretty solid, but he hasn't really put together a string of solid CFF games quite yet. And so I'm going to need to see a little bit more before I make an official play. Could very well be on this list next week. Cameron Brown, quarterback at Georgia State, another great performance this past weekend. Great performance 2 weeks ago. He's got Coastal Carolina this week. They are 126 versus the run, 91st versus the pass. That Georgia State-Coastal Carolina game could be absolute barn burner for CFF. Yeah, we'll go with Brock Lowry. Again, another solid performance from him this past week. 24 points versus Central Michigan. Like I said, the dude just scores 20 to 25 points against MAC competition. Is he ever going to win you your week? No, but you can be dang sure that he's not going to lose it for you either. So if that's the kind of strategy you want to take through the playoffs the next couple of weeks, Lowry's a great guy, rostered only 6% of leagues. Nick Minicucci, another great performance from him this past week. You know, his Blue Hens lost there, almost doubled up on points there. But, I mean, Minicucci, again, another 30-point fantasy performance. I think he's got to be up there when it comes to quarterbacks. Oh, I can't get anything to load now. Come on. There we go. Yeah, he's QB 13 in total points on the season. He doesn't have any more bye weeks. He should be heavily, heavily considered being picked up if he's still available in your league. Again, 70% of leagues. I don't know how he's still that low. Evan Simon out of Temple, obviously not a great performance for Temple this past week. Really needed them to kind of perform against East Carolina there. They get Army this week. Not a great matchup, but like I mentioned last week, the week after, they get some better competition going forward. So maybe pick him up, sit him this week against Army, and then get ready to play him the week afterwards. And then Dwayne Lunch Winfield, another great performance from him. 27.8 fantasy points this past week against South Alabama. They get Texas State this weekend. That should be a really solid shootout spot to take advantage of this week. So, we got more quarterback honorable mentions. I completely forgot about these guys. Again, Noah Fifita. Shout out Noah Fifita. What a great bounce back season. Dino Babers has really done quite a bit there at Arizona. Like, Fifita's looked much better this season. I think he's top 30-something. He's QB 34 in total fantasy points. I think in fantasy points per game, he is pretty up there as well. Okay, QB 31. So not super high, but still like a very solid option going forward. He gets Kansas this week. They're a little bit worse against the run than they are against the pass. So maybe, you know, that could be a big day for the running backs instead. But same time, like Fifita, pretty solid option moving forward. Joe Fognano, another great performance this past week against UAB. 25 fantasy points there. Chucking every touchdown he can to Skylar Bell. You'll love to see it. Cale Helms, quarterback out of Army. They get Temple this week. Temple, pretty rough against the run. Am I reading that correctly? Actually, I just want to double check myself. Yeah, pretty rough against the run. 105th in the country. That spells really, really good potential there with Army against Temple this week. And then Daquan Finn, he's still chilling here at 26%. He gets Ohio this week. That should be a relatively higher scoring MAC matchup there. So let's get on over to running backs. And I put a tweet out earlier today that was saying that running backs on the waiver wire this week were kind of barren. I'm not going to lie. I think I almost immediately ate it on that, because as I dug through it and realized like how many guys were emerging because of injuries to, you know, backs in front of them, that I was like, okay, maybe there's a little bit more here than I was kind of initially letting on, especially with how low percentage some of these guys are. But yeah. We'll start with Keyhuan Brown, the running back out of Louisville here, rostered on 5% of leagues this past week, 12 rush attempts, 94 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And yeah, I got a confession to make, guys. Sometimes I overthink things. Yes, it is true. A guy who's trying to find ways to predict what is going to happen in this wonderful sport of ours overthinks things. I know, crazy, right? But when it came to Brown, my initial thought was that he and his great performance against Virginia Tech was going to be one that I didn't really trust. Like, I still have that waiver wire trap mindset kind of going on, and I was kind of getting, you know, false positive vibes here from Keyhuan Brown here. At least that was my initial judgment. And, you know, with Isaac Brown being out for what it looks like some time here, which is why we're even discussing this, my thought was, like, there's kind of this itch in the back of my brain that was like, oh, what about when Duke Watson comes back? Because, you know, Duke Watson's pretty solid back as well, and that can mess things up for Keyhuan Brown as good as he's looked the past couple of weeks. Thankfully, I have a wonderful, wonderful team over at campusacant.com, which includes the likes of Nate Marquise, who, the moment I mentioned my doubt of Keyhuan and putting him out as a waiver option this week, he took off his white glove and metaphorically slapped me upside the head and said, what are we even doing if you're not putting Keyhuan Brown on your waiver list this week? And just quite honestly, he was 100% right. Watson or no Watson, Keyhuan Brown has been the clear RB2 for Louisville this season. He's not only out-carried Watson when they're both healthy, but has outperformed him as well. Keyhuan may not be insane, like, he's not, you know, at the same insane level of Isaac Brown when it comes to efficiency. Like, Isaac Brown was running 8.6 yards per carry before he got hurt. But, you know, 6.2 yards per carry on the year is still pretty damn good, I would say. Like, any concerns about, you know, Keyhuan Brown and Louisville missing a beat going forward without Isaac Brown, I think have been pretty laid to rest over the last couple of weeks. Again, Brown's looked really, really good. He's put up 189 yards and 3 touchdowns on the ground in the last 2 games combined. I don't love that his volume's only been, you know, about 11 to 13 touches a game the last couple of weeks, but, you know, when you're hitting 7+ yards a play, volume really doesn't matter nearly as much in that scenario. So let's take a look at this upcoming schedule for Louisville. It's both worse and better than it seems, I would say. Like, on one hand, you know, this is the ACC where, you know, shootouts are dime a dozen at this point. So there's always scoring opportunities. You know, Louisville, they'll hit a stretch here of Cal, Clemson, and SMU. Cal, completely fine matchup. But when you dig into the stats, you know, Clemson and SMU are both top 20 versus the run, giving up just over 100 yards a game on the ground. That sounds bad, but this is also where it's better than it sounds, right? Because both Clemson and SMU have terrible secondaries. Like, just watch that Duke-Clemson game this past week. You'll understand what I'm talking about. SMU, they're a bottom 3 unit in the country when it comes to giving up passing yardage. That's important. Because while Brown, you know, because of those D lines, he may not get a ton of yardage into those games, the scoring opportunities are still going to be there, because Louisville should still be able to move up and down the field on both Clemson and SMU just by passing the ball. Very much could see them, you know, taking it out of the 1 or 2 yard line, and then they just run it in with Keyhuan. That's what they've been doing the last couple of weeks. So, and then in addition, like, Keyhuan, solid receiver as well, so I don't think it's out of the question at all for him to, you know, get a receiving touchdown thrown in there as well. So, yeah, Keyhuan Brown, obviously one of the most important running backs you can pick up this week, available in a lot of leagues. A guy that's less available in leagues, but I would say maybe just as important to pick up if he's even available in your leagues, and that is Jordan Marshall, the running back out of Michigan, rostered in 50% of leagues this past week, 25 attempts, 185 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He also had a catch for 25 yards there. And like I mentioned, the theme of the week at running backs is, are these backups taking over for injured starters? And like I said, one could argue Jordan Marshall may be even more important of a pickup than Keyquan Brown here. This is the guy I mentioned at the start of the show where he's well above our 30% threshold. And I don't do this very often. I can hear you guys asking, like, why are we breaking the rules here? Two reasons. One, running back, a little shallow on waiver wire this week. So, you know, might as well bring up guys that I think are important. And that is my second point. When I break my 30% rule, it is usually for a guy that I think not only could be a game changer for your team, but potentially a league winner down the line. And I really do think that is what Jordan Marshall could end up being. Yes, if you're in a C2C league or a CFF Dynasty league or even a keeper league, this man's probably already rostered. And I am sorry for those of you where that is the case. But quite frankly, this man going forward should be 100% rostered by the end of this week. And there are a ton of redraft leagues where he is going to where he's still available. Right, because you're not typically carrying the backup running back for teams, even good teams like Michigan, who or at least good at running the ball teams like Michigan, not really typically carrying backup running backs in those scenarios. So let's talk a little bit more about Marshall here. He was already kind of ascending with Haynes, you know, being hit or miss in his availability. Without Haynes, Marshall put up games of 133 yards and 185 yards against both Washington and Purdue. Even with Haynes back for the Michigan State game, Marshall still put up about 110 yards there, so that's obviously very nice. But now, this backfield is Marshall's show for the foreseeable future, right? Like, Haynes, it has been announced, will be getting foot surgery and will be out for some time. They say the hope is that he'll be back, you know, at some point this season. But, you know, with Haynes getting some NFL buzz, I'm really not so sure we see him again, unfortunately. Meanwhile, I would say the last 3 weeks have made it very, very clear how the staff plans to use Marshall, and that is in the exact same way that they were using Justice Haynes. Just a pure, unblemished workhorse back with multiple touchdown upside every single game. You know, before the season, I was really big on Haynes. A lot of people were wondering, like, Marshall or Haynes. I was right to pick Haynes, and one of the big reasons was that I didn't think Marshall, based on what we saw last year, what we saw during the spring game and stuff, like, his efficiency I drew into question. I didn't know if he really had it. That's been laid to rest. He looks phenomenal last couple of weeks. And, you know, if Haynes does end up being out for the rest of the season, Marshall will be a top five back, no question in my mind. Normally, this is kind of the part where I would dive into Michigan's remaining schedule and tell you kind of what matchups to worry about, which ones to be excited for. But I don't think Michigan's a hard team to figure out when it comes to CFF. They're going to have a workhorse back, and they're going to try to run the ball on literally everybody, and it's going to work really well. They do one thing really well, and that is run the ball. It doesn't matter the matchups. Their running backs are going to be fed. Even in week 14, where you got Ohio State kind of chilling there, I don't think I would be afraid to start Jordan Marshall against Ohio State. One, again, we've seen the last couple of years that no matter how good their defense is, the Buckeyes have always kind of struggled greatly with Michigan. And then two, like, again, like, I have not seen a defense in that Big Ten stop Michigan's run game. Obviously, Michigan has lost games, but we don't really see anybody stop them quite yet. Maybe Ohio State can do it. They got a talented defense, obviously, probably the best in the country. But, you know, teams fold in the weirdest ways sometimes. So, yeah. Marshall, obviously phenomenal. I think he's startable every week from here on out. If you can just make it past the bye week and you got him sitting there on your bench, ready to plug in for the weeks afterwards, you could be absolutely golden moving forward. So, last running back we'll discuss here is Mr. Jakerian Turner out of Pitt. I'm probably a week late on this, but, you know, not too bad. 12% here rostered this past week against Stanford. 22 carries, 127 yards. No touchdowns, unfortunately, but still made pretty clear in this game that this is your Desmond Reed replacement for now. Desmond Reed seen in a walking boot, not a very good sign when we're this close to the end of the season that he will be back anytime soon. If that is the case, Cade Bell's RB1 has been pretty clearly a gold mine for CFF for right now. And Turner is taking that right over. His efficiency the weeks before this against NC State and Syracuse obviously weren't great. You know, he had, you know, 15, 13 carries in both those games, only managed to get 50 yards in, you know, one of them, 42 in the other. I'm hoping that's the exception, and what we saw this past week against Stanford, now that he is the clear number one back, hopefully that's a little bit more of what we see going forward. But I think it'll be a minute before we find out. Obviously, he's got a bye this week, so that's going to hurt you a little bit. But then he's got Notre Dame the week afterwards. Notre Dame, they've really kind of put things together down the stretch here. That might be a tough out. But then in your final 2 weeks here, you got Georgia Tech, who's 92nd versus the run. And then I forgot to write down who Pitt is facing in the final week of the season. So we'll look up that real quick. Miami, that's not a great matchup. All right, so this, I'm be real, this is looking less, this is looking more like a spot start to pick up for a couple weeks from now. But regardless, like, this is the Cade Bell's RB1. We've already seen the last couple of weeks that, you know, Turner will get some reception work as well. He's not an elite receiver by any stretch of the imagination, but if you're in a PPR league, definitely worth checking out there as well. It's just a matter of, if Turner does well against Notre Dame, smooth sailing the rest of the way. But that Notre Dame game in week 12 is going to be a big test. And again, given that that's likely a playoff game for a lot of people, I don't know if you really want to make that call, unless, you know, there's just, you have a lot of teams on bye that week, which I don't think a ton of teams are on bye in week 12 this year. We'll see. Anyway, let's go move on to some honorable mentions at running back here. Again, Caleb Komolafe, we talked about him last week. They get USC this week, who, according to Fantrax, is pretty generous against running backs here. They're 52nd against the run, according to teamrankings.com, giving up just over 140 yards rushing. So you're kind of hoping that Komolafe can get a good chunk of that. Javon Ducker, again, Temple kind of fell flat this past week, although Javon Ducker did manage to find the end zone. They get Army this week. I'm a little queasy about that, but after that, Temple should be fine, so Ducker should be back to his normal stuff after this week. Jordan Brunson, still pretty widely available. That's just a 14%, I believe he was last at. They get Ohio this week. Like I mentioned, that should be a relatively high-scoring MAC game there. Shamari Lawrence, a solid performance this past week, 14 carries, 104 yards, and 2 touchdowns against Florida International. The week before, he actually had better volume than what he got against Florida International. He had 21 carries for 97 yards, did not find the end zone in that game. Otherwise, we'd be talking about he probably would be a feature running back for this spot, but, you know, he's put together some really solid performances here late down the stretch from Missouri State. I think, you know, he's got Liberty this weekend. They're 99th versus the run. That could be a really solid spot start. And then Evan Dickens, running back out of Liberty, rostered on 10% of leagues, a monster game this past weekend, 22 rush attempts, 217 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Very, 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 very hit or miss the weeks before that, but a lot of it had to do with him just not finding the end zone. Obviously, that remedied itself this past week. I think that'll kind of even out going forward. They get Missouri State this week, who is not good or not bad versus the run, but I wouldn't say they're very good either. They've given about 148 yards on the ground, so you're kind of hoping that Dickens can get about 100 of those yards. So let's look at wide receivers for this week. The first wide receiver we have up here is Sheldon Sampson, wide receiver out of Louisiana Lafayette here. 7 targets, 6 receptions, 138 yards, and 2 touchdowns this past week, and rostered on 12% of leagues. Sampson is returning from injury, and he has become another boon to this raging Cajun offense that has really found its legs in recent weeks. Obviously, we've been talking about Lunch Winfield the last couple of weeks, but, you know, for Sampson, there was a lot of big fish, small pond hype coming into this season. Shout out Mitch Hart. And, you know, many were very afraid that, one, when Sampson's former teammate and fellow blue chip recruit Walker Howard went down with injury, that might have been the end of Sampson's relevance, and then you got Sampson getting injured himself. We kind of thought that was the end of it. Turns out he's bouncing back, and a good receiver at this level is going to produce no matter what. And then now that you got Lunch Winfield, now that he's kind of settled that QB room, Samson's chemistry with him is building real quickly. Over the last couple of weeks, Samson has seen 15 targets, 11 catches, 212 yards, and 3 touchdowns combined in those two games. I think, you know, he picked up right where he left off, where we last saw him against Eastern Michigan back in week 4. I think we should expect more of this in the coming weeks for Samson, Louisiana. They have upcoming matchups against, you know, Texas State, Arkansas State, both very vulnerable against the pass. Like, Texas State's been shootout central for most teams they played against in the Sun Belt this year. Arkansas State's 107th versus the pass, giving 250 yards plus up a game. Considering that Samson's, you know, been roughly right at 50% of Louisiana's, you know, passing production the last two games, if Louisiana can just be average, can meet the average passing production that teams have been able to put up on Texas State and Arkansas State, and Samson continues to be roughly that 50%, that's easily 100 yards and likely a touchdown at some point. So I think Samson's a phenomenal pickup for the next couple of weeks. Again, he does have a bye week in week 12. So that's obviously not great. You kind of prefer guys at this point that just don't have a bye, but if your team's good enough, you should be able to handle that. Other wide receiver we'll discuss here today is Nick McMillan, wide receiver out of Buffalo. This past week, 10 targets, 8 catches, 105 yards. Did not find the end zone, but we'll get to that here in a second. He is rostered on 13% of leagues, and I will go ahead and issue the apology everywhere to Victor Snow fans. But sorry, Victor Snow fans, his window of opportunity is disappearing like his namesake in the sun. Nick McMillan has been that guy for Buffalo over the last 3 weeks, even if he hasn't found the end zone quite yet. Like, McMillan's always been a frustrating guy. Like, I feel like we've had 3 straight off seasons of hype for him coming into the season, and he's just never been able to stay healthy. Like, even this year, you know, he's played in every game, but the talk has been for a while that he was hobbled kind of in those middle weeks of the season. But man, if you look at his series of games, you can pinpoint exactly when the staff thought he was fully ready to go. Just look at the last 3 weeks. Over his last 3 games, he's averaged 12.3 targets per game, 8.7 catches per game, 133.7 yards per game. Yeah, like, he hasn't found the end zone since week 3, but a guy getting that level of volume is due to find the end zone. Like, they gotta make it up to him, especially after letting Victor Snow vulture 2 touchdowns this past week. But let's say that doesn't happen, right? Let's say Nick McMillan continues to be the most unlucky wide receiver the rest of the season here. In a PPR format, that average stat line that I just gave you, the 12 targets, you know, 9 catches, 134 yards per game, like, that equates to 22.1 fantasy points per game in a full PPR league. Like, that's more than playable. So regardless of anything else, McMillan, just on his recent performance, should be rostered in every PPR league out there. If you take a look at his upcoming schedule, it's not the greatest. You know, he's got a bye this week. Then he faces Central Michigan and Miami of Ohio, 2 teams that are kind of above average versus the past nationally, but pretty solid for MAC teams. But, you know, him putting up some good numbers against Bowling Green this past week, who's top 50 against the pass, that does make me feel pretty good that he'll still produce in the weeks to come. But like I said, it's hard to find a wide receiver getting this level of volume. They talked him up for 3 years. They're finally getting him the volume that they say they've been trying to get him. He's performing. You have to think that'll continue going forward. So let's finish up our wide receivers, at least our featured wide receivers here, with Jeremy Scott out of South Alabama. If you have been somebody who is struggling with your Devin Voisin shares the last couple of weeks, you can look no further than this man right here. This past week, Scott had 7 targets, 6 catches, 102 yards, and a touchdown. I'll go ahead and throw out the week before: 5 targets, 3 catches, 121 yards, and a touchdown. The dude has been on an impressive 2-game streak. Fully admit, I wasn't sure if I wanted to add him here yet, because I'm not entirely sure I fully buy that Scott is overtaking Voisin as the wide receiver 1 for South Alabama. But boy, is he making a pretty impressive case here with 200-yard games in a row here. The volume isn't insane, but again, it is pretty consistent with that of being the wide receiver one for South Alabama here. And he's only getting better week by week here. You take a look at his snap share, or a snap count, very similar to Jeremiah Kroger here, right? Where after the bye week, it was pretty clear there was a conscious decision made to get Scott onto the field more. He is a young player. I can't remember if he's a redshirt freshman or a true freshman. Maybe I can look that up really quickly here. Let's see how fast I can do this. No, I don't want that Jeremy Scott. Let's go South Alabama. Nope, that's images. Here we go. Oh, wait. Let's go 247. They'll have his class. Okay, he's 2024, so he's a redshirt freshman. But still, like, they clearly, he has done enough in practice that during this bye week, they have gotten him more shots. This could be huge for dynasty plays, by the way. Because, again, this could be a major Applewhite wide receiver one going forward. So, you know, that's always pretty great to have, right? Looking ahead at his schedule, he does have a bye this week, so we're not going to get any answers this week. Afterwards, you get Southern Miss and Texas State, two teams that have been in their, again, fair share of shootouts this year. I don't think that's going to change with them going up against South Alabama. So I think we'll get our answer pretty quickly here. But just the potential of having the major Applewhite wide receiver one in Scott is worth picking him up, storing him on your bench, and seeing what happens the rest of the season. Because if he does go nuclear and is like a true Jalen Tolbert, you know, Colin Lacey kind of explosion here towards the end, that could be a league winner. So definitely worth picking up if you're somebody who's just looking for that extra boom at the wide receiver position. We'll go ahead and throw up some guys that we've discussed in the weeks past here. We'll start with Iverson Hooks. Obviously a disappointing performance from just UAB in general this past week, but Hooks in particular, I think he bounces back this upcoming week. Let's see, who does he got? Hooks, where are you, buddy? Thought I had his stuff here and I don't see. Oh, there he is. He's got Rice this week. They're 71st versus the pass. You know, not bad, but not great either. I think that, again, Hooks has a pretty good connection with Burton there. We'll continue to see what happens with Corey Milliner. But Kyrie Duplessis, this is a guy we mentioned weeks ago, but he's been on a tear recently with his volume. You know, this past week, 12 targets, 8 catches, 98 yards. Did not find the end zone, unfortunately. But again, a guy getting that level of volume, he'll have his opportunities, especially with Minicucci throwing as many touchdowns as he is. They get Louisiana Tech this week. Louisiana Tech 104th versus the pass, so should be plenty of opportunities there. Parker Kingston, talked about him last week. He's on bye this week, so not really much else to say there. But, you know, he's looked really good. He's got Texas Tech this week. Probably not a great start there, but afterwards, things kind of clear up for BYU. Jordan Hudson, man, like, didn't find the end zone this week, but again, this clear Rhett Lashley wide receiver one right now. 13 targets this past game, 11 catches, 136 yards against Miami. That's a pretty solid defense that he's able to put that up on. They get Boston College this week. Boston College 119th versus the pass. That could be a huge week for Jordan Hudson here. He's still available in 85% of leagues. My man, Anthony Evans, monster game this past week, including the game-winning touchdown. 10 targets, 5 catches, 111 yards, and 2 touchdowns for him. He also had a rush attempt there for 16 yards. He gets Georgia this week. Georgia, secondary, not as good the last couple of years. And let's be honest, this could be a revenge game. He did transfer out from Georgia. He knows that defense that Kirby Smart's putting out there. And, you know, Georgia's in particular had trouble against slot wide receivers this year. So I, you know, some of you might be scared off by that Georgia tag. If I wasn't a Georgia fan, I probably would be starting him in every league still. He's just been on a monster tear recently. Some more wide receivers. I forgot to throw up the other graphic. That's a shame, Jared. Good job. I'll just throw out names that are not on the graphic there. Jeremiah Coker, we talked about him last week. They get UTSA this week. That should be an absolute shootout between South Florida and UTSA, so Coker should once again get scoring opportunities there. Kajaya Holloway, wide receiver out of Temple, obviously not a great week this past week. They get Army this week. Still ticky-tacky about that, but as I mentioned with the other Temple players, things kind of clear up after this week, so could be big down the stretch there. And then Amari Thomas out of Houston, a monster game this past weekend. 13 targets, 10 catches, 99 yards, and 3 touchdowns. They get UCF this week. UCF, on paper, pretty good versus the pass, but I think Houston will be looking for a good bounce back game. And we saw this past week with Baylor that UCF's defense, maybe on paper, looks pretty solid, but you know, it seems more paper tiger than anything else. CJ Williams out of Stanford, another great game from him this past week. 9 targets, 7 catches, 122 yards, and 2 touchdowns. They get North Carolina this week. They're 74th versus the pass. I think that, you know, Williams should have himself another solid day there. And then Braden Pegan, wide receiver to Utah State. Last we saw him, 9 targets, 5 catches, 108 yards, and a touchdown versus New Mexico. New Mexico, New Mexico have been pretty solid at stopping quarterbacks and stopping wide receivers, and Pegan didn't really care. They get Nevada this week. Nevada 46 versus the pass, giving about 200 yards a game. I think Pegan could still break some trends there and still have himself a pretty solid game. Let's finish up with tight ends here. I was this close to doing what I did last week and just saying, like, all right, here's the names to know again. But that was until I saw Shimon Mateer just clears under 30% threshold here. And I do think he's worth bringing up because with Jordan Tyson out these last two games, Arizona State has needed to find somebody else to become a go-to target in this offense. And while Mateer's, you know, not getting the absolute insane target concentration that Tyson was getting, he's still a very clear leader in this passing game. These last three games, especially with Tyson out, in the last three games, Mateer has averaged 6.7 targets, 4.7 catches, and 63 yards. And in those three games, into those three games, he has found the end zone twice. So you're looking at really solid performances here all around. Again, in a half PPR league, he has hit double digits. In full PPR league, he's hit double digits in all three. I think also the other thing that makes me want to point out Mateer here is I think we as CFF managers, just like Justice Haynes, we might have to come to the reality that we may have seen the last of Jordan Tyson in college football. Like, again, Tyson's out with injury. He's missing his starting quarterback now. Sims is not a very good passer. Last time we saw Tyson out there, he hurt himself playing with Sims. And so, again, I think there's a non-zero chance that Tyson's just done for the season and is getting ready for the playoffs. If that is the case, then it is all the more important to grab Mateer if you're still looking for your forever tight end to play through the playoffs. Because if Tyson's not there, that'll solidify his role every single week, especially with a passing challenge quarterback like Sims. He's going to want to hit his big target whenever he can. Mateer, just like Sims, they're on bye this week. So not an immediate help by any stretch of the imagination. But as I mentioned with Sims, you get Arizona, you get West Virginia, you get Colorado to finish the season here. I think that there will be a lot of scoring opportunities and that Mateer will be on the receiving end of a lot of those. I'll run through some of the names at tight end still hanging out here. Really, the big ones to me are Bowden Green, tight end of Kansas, and Peter Clark out of Temple. Both Reggie Anderson and Joshua Long have definitely kind of cooled off a little bit in recent weeks, but those are the names really to look out for there. All right. I can breathe. Went through a lot of information. I thought I was going to go long today because I was really diving deep into some of these guys, but we don't have to worry about that. We're still under an hour here. So all that being said, we have come to the end of our show. Appreciate all of you guys for listening. If you have not already, make sure you leave a like, a comment, subscribe. If you're watching this on the YouTube side of things, if you're on the podcast side of things, make sure you follow the show, leave a 5-star review wherever you can. Make sure you guys check out the rest of the Campus to Canton Podcast Network for shows ranging on pretty much anything you could think of related to the college fantasy game. And we'll see you guys Tuesday night, where we'll have more start sit questions for you guys and, you know, rest of season questions, maybe, or really anything you want to talk about. You can even start asking me about next year deal, right? Like, if you're in a Campus to Canton league or a CFF dynasty league and you want to know what I think is going to happen to certain players and stuff like that, we can already start discussing that. But that is then. Until then, really appreciate you guys and hope you guys have a wonderful and blessed week. See y'all.